I would really struggle to give the captain's armband to somebody who's consistently moaning and consistently shows the body language that Bruno Fernandes does.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 61 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. Now, this week for members, we're going to look at Saturday's Great Yorkshire Chase at Doncaster. We're also going to preview Sunday's action at Nace and also get Johnny's charity bet. So make sure to subscribe. Now, Johnny, how are you?
I'm good, JD. Just slightly sidetracking here. I'm getting messages in about the storm. My family at home, they've got solar panels in, and my brother-in-law is just wondering, I wonder, could they get electricity from the solar panels? Because they're among the million people, or whatever it is, million and a half people maybe, without electricity at the moment. I don't know how you escaped it. Personally, I'm all right, but it's been a wild night anyway, and a wild morning.
It was pretty bad in South Dublin, where I am at the moment, when I was up 5 o'clock for the News Talk breakfast show. But I think Dublin, parts of Dublin have kind of feel have escaped the worst of it. I mean, people out in Connacht, where you're from, Johnny, have had a tough, and a lot of people don't have the water at the moment. And obviously the great work that's been done by the public services to get everything back on track, like just even the Mayo Air Dome, you know, the Connacht Air Dome. Will need to be repaired. So and Longford Town as well. So like obviously with race courses, there's solid structures, and you know, I'd expect Ferry House and Nace to go ahead, but it's a strange event.
Yeah, I think I feel we'd be fine. Dundalk made. I thought Dundalk left it late enough to make a call when it was, you know, kind of blatantly obvious that since Wednesday that this wasn't going to happen. But you know, I do really feel for Connacht GAA, because it's a sorry sight to see that. It is going to be a regular thing in the future, where we're going to get more events like this, and racing's going to have to kind of deal with it. We've gotten away with it relatively well the last few months, JD, and it's been strange, like talking to Martin Hassett last week. He was giving out about how the erratic temperatures meant it was hard to train the horses, and some racetracks have actually found that there hasn't been enough rain. So the fact that we've raced over the 2 days, sadly enough, I think it's fair to say, maybe some people are listening to this on the radio, they won't be able to watch it because they'll have no electricity, and you know, they won't be able to get the TV on. So hopefully those who can watch, we might give them a winner or two, and ultimately something to look forward to after a very tough few hours.
Absolutely. So the fastest chase was at Goran Park on Thursday. The race stops at County Kilkenny, and was watching it on television, and bright sunshine. That's unusual for Goran Park. Nick Rockett won it, the Thiestes. 11 stone 11, trained by William Mullins and ridden by Paul Tennant. And I'm just seeing Paul Tennant hug the outside rail and then come and win from Velvet Elvis. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is like at the moment, so far above of the other jockeys, the great jockeys like Jack Kennedy, Rachel Blackmore, obviously. But the way Paul is riding, I Am Maximus in two nationals, Galopin des Chances, Banbridge, absurd. It is not absurd to say that Paul Tennant is different gravy. He's in the different gravy category at the moment for me.
Yeah, and riding with so much confidence, you know, and riding for the man who, you know, is dominating Irish racing, and probably was, I suppose, a backable price. I find these races tough, but you could have backed him at 6-1 in the morning, and he was the mount of Paul Townend in a race that, you know, Willie Mullins had a very strong hand in, and he just got it right, come up the near side. It's, you know, Willie Mullins beaten Gavin Cromwell, Gordon Elliott, and Gavin Cromwell, with Gordon Elliott having the sixth, Willie Mullins having the seventh and the ninth, and that's kind of where racing is. I thought it was a little bit worrying that they couldn't fill the reserves in the race, and some of these kind of handicap chasers, they're really in the hands of a small few at the moment. But this race, I think, was it Willie's 10th tie, I says. It means a lot to him.
Yes.
Yeah, it means a lot to him. Like, and he would have grown up very near Gorn. And I was actually at Willie's in Close Sutton in Carlow the other morning. And
Were you at the Dublin Race Festival preview, were you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, he was talking away about, you know, the horses, and primarily Willie's very much on message from events like this. If talk strays to Cheltenham, and I think it's fair enough that he does this is an event that's essentially sponsored to promote the Dublin Race Festival, He will talk about the Dublin Racing Festival and more so on the team that he'll have there. But he did have a good team for Gorn as well. And Nick Rockett, probably, I suppose he fitted the profile in that he wasn't overly lightly raced. An emotional win for Connections as well, but yes. I will say Velvet Elvis, JD, for Gavin Cromwell. Gavin's had a great run of it since the start of December. Ran an absolute blinder, miles clear of the third. And I know Derek Cairns has moved a few horses around in recent years to different yards. And I'm sure they were wondering what might have been. They still picked up 20 grand, but it was actually a cracking renewal of the race. Really good to watch. And Gorn were lucky. I mean, if it had been a day later, it would have been lights out. And, you know, Gorn have had a lot of issues with mad weather in recent times, but it looked like a great crowd there. And yeah, judging by the form Willie was in, I think the DRF will be quite bountiful. Of course, he won all the grade ones there last year.
Stuart Andrew was the owner of Nick Rockett, and yeah, he sadly lost his wife a couple of years ago, so it was a poignant day for them, and congratulations to all the Connections. I remember I had the third of Willie Mullins' winners in the test 18 years ago, Homer Wells, 33-1 in the morning. Probably the last time I had a winner, Johnny, but yeah.
Yeah, probably save that caveat until, I suppose, till the end of the show. Hope is a powerful thing, JD, as they used to say in Shawshank Redemption, you know?
Let's look at this weekend's cards. Hopefully Ferry House now will go ahead. Saturday at Soft Ground, the Sol Arena Mares Novice Hurdle is at 1:30 or 1:38 to be precise with these strange times now, but a grade 3, 2 miles, 2 furlongs, 8 runners. Aurora Vega is the daughter of Quivega, a course winner, 5 wins from 8 starts. Paul Tennant rides this one. Baby Kate's in there. Fancy Girl, Mongibello. It's a tricky one. I found it's a very tricky one to try and work out. Did you have a clear picture of it, Johnny?
Yeah, I might go with Baby Kate here, JD. It's Aurora Vega is just a horse. The day she pulled up at Wexford, she was 1-10. I just have a small caveat as to her reliability, and that might be harsh on her. And the last time in Fairy House, she beat Mongibello, who reopposes, and Cast a Spell, who won at Mallow when I was there the other day. She's been a brilliant mare for Tom Hogan, and she does deserve to be favourite, but Willie has other horses in this race for a reason as well. And, I've no problem backing his second or third strings. And Baby Kate, when she won at Naas, she beat Caroline Bamboo and Belle the Tigress. Belle the Tigress absolutely flopped at Gorn yesterday, but was sort of weak in the market. So I wouldn't be too worried about the form looking bad. And Baby Kate, she showed a great attitude at Naas. And she stayed on really strongly. So she's well worth her place in this lineup. Henry de Bromhead has Mystical Princess here. She's a filly by Walk in the Park. I can't back his horse with real confidence at the moment. And Fancy Girl for Willie would have to be respected as well. Was very good the last day at Cork. She'd been tricky to train. She'd only had that was her first run since April 2023, which was quite well back late on, and she was very good at the finish. So she's probably the second string. But Baby Kate, another Champs-Élysées, she just might be one of these that is a little bit unheralded, and she's definitely going to be an E-Trade price anyway. I imagine she'll be third favourite of the Mullins runners, and you just hope that obviously the Dead Eight takes a chance. But Baby Kate is well worth a shot each way.
Brian Hayes rides her. We also have Trials Day Cheltenham on Saturday. A bit of softer ground now because of the rain that's coming across these islands, and soft, good to soft in places, the going description. So let's start off with the Triumph Hurdle trial, 1:15, 2 miles and a furlong. So you got a couple of horses here. East India Dock, who's in the colours of Burdett Road, bolted up by 18 lengths before Christmas over course and distance. James Owen trains him, so he's obviously going to be very short in the market. And then you've got an unraced runner in the UK called Sauvignon, trained by Paul Nicholls, has been winning in France, won an 80,000 listed hurdle. Paul Nicholls has come before with horses at the juvenile ranks. Remember, it's the Sanctuary a few years ago, came out and won first time, I think, at the Cheltenham Festival. So to me, it looks like between the two of them, East India Dock and Sauvignon. And if Sauvignon is good as they think he is, it could be a real match here.
Yeah, and the betting is very, very slanted East India Dock. You know, Sauvignon, who handles that soft ground in France, he does have a tongue tie on here, which I know Paul Nicholls goes for headgear pretty readily, but it's just a little bit alarming that he's going for a tongue tie straight away on the horse. I put up East India Dock the last day at Cheltenham. That's gone back to the 16th of November, now the November meeting. It's mad, JD. It was the same thing with his half-brother Burdett Road, probably around the same time in 12 months previously, where this horse impresses you earlier in the season for a fairly small yard, and you're like, oppose him at your kind of peril in the Triumph. And ever since then, I mean, in the last week alone, we've had Nicky Henderson unveiling these very exciting juveniles, and obviously we've seen Hello Neighbour, and even the horse that was second to Hello Neighbour that Willie Mullins trains at Leopardstown, all coming into the picture for the Triumph. So East India Dock, who's essentially hasn't run since November, his odds for the Triumph have gone out by virtue of the fact that it's just looks such a hot race now. But I still loved his performance the last day. For a horse who gets 2 miles pretty well, nearly 2 miles on the flat, and with the last day he ran at Doncaster, he just travelled exceptionally well. Maybe he wouldn't want the ground too soft, but it doesn't look like it'll be a major problem for him. It'll be kind of softish ground, and he's actually rated a pound inferior to Sauvignon, so you can't say with a load of confidence he's going to win. But I thought he was absolutely exceptional the last day. He did everything right, travel, jump, look a complete pro. And I'd be opposing him reluctantly, but you know, the last day he was back from 5-2. I think he was 5-2 on the Friday, and we were talking about him 9-4. He went off odds on. I'm not sure you're going to get much bigger than 4-6 here, and around about 4-6, I'd probably watch the race. But he'd be really, really hard to beat on anything like that form. What's to say he won't improve again?
Yeah, I also think as well, you can read as many cards as you want, read as much form as you want, but what you see with your own eyes visually is always really important in racing, because it doesn't lie. We have the Cotswold Chase as well then, 225, grade 2, 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. Look, I thought Gentleman's Game ran really well in the Savills Chase at Leopardstown at Christmas behind Galopin des Champs, but the ground was decent then. I think this horse needs to have good ground. Just a little bit worried. I know he beat Brave Man's Game, I think, on soft ground in the Charlie Hall a couple of seasons ago, but you know, I'm just a bit concerned now with L'Empressé probably being favoured with a softer ground. I suppose the only thing about L'Empressé, will he get home over an extended trip here, 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs? But if Gentleman's Game handles the going, I think he can definitely take this.
Yeah, the ground will be significant, as you say. We're looking at a sort of soft good, soft in place on Friday, and the tail end of that storm will, you know, probably bring some rain over there. I'm not sure he's quite as reliant on the sort of nice ground you're talking about, JD. If you go through his form down the years, he won on soft to heavy in a maiden hurdle back in the day. He did win on soft ground at Leopardstown. He beat Iron Maximus. That was a mad day, because I remember thinking that day that Iron Maximus was a good thing. That was in December 2022, and this guy just floored him. And then he sort of emerged as a candidate for the top honour, especially when he beat Braveman's Game in Weatherby, then, as you mentioned, in the Charlie Hall in 2023. I think the most important factor in Braveman's Game, Gentleman's Game's chance here or other, is the fact that Mouse Morris's horses, who were really under cloud for much of 2024, have come back to form. He had the third in the Galmoy on Thursday. He had a horse, Auto Portrait, who was beaten but run well in Mallow the other day as well. And I spoke to him. It was one of those things that was really gnawing at him, that, you know, sometimes your horse, it's hard to put your finger on. He thinks he knew what it was. And this horse was third in a race in which Galopin des Champs and Fact of Foil were first and second. Like, that's very, very, that was a very good effort. So on his day, one of them is sort of just looking at the prices here now with William Hill. We're looking at 3-1 Braveman's
Gentleman's
Game versus
game, yeah.
Evens L'Empressé. Sorry, Gentleman's Game. I'm being very brave today. Gentleman's Game at 3-1 versus L'Empressé. Gentleman's Game is a lot shorter elsewhere. I think there's no doubt that you have to back the 3-1 there, even giving them weight. L'Empressé does love it around Cheltenham, but I feel if Gentleman's Game is back to his best, he'd be very hard not to crack.
Is it just
here.
The two of them? Stage Star has never run over the distance before, and he's been out of form. I can't really see the others troubling the two. Can you?
Yeah, Chantry House on his day wouldn't be without a chance. He's obviously stepping up from a very good effort the last day. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a two-horse race. You know, these races, Gentleman's Game's profile is such that I wouldn't be absolutely banking on him running his race either. So the others are entitled to their chance. Obviously, State Star, he would have questions to answer, I think, stepping up to this trip.
Okay, the Unibet Hurdle, grade 2, 3 o'clock, 2 miles and a furlong, 5 runners. This is Constitution Hill. The cotton wool is off, Johnny, and he is rated 175, 29 pounds better than the next horse. So this is a schooling session, as long as he doesn't fall, and we hope that he doesn't fall. We hope that he wins, and good to see him.
Great to see him. Yeah, the form scan on irishracing.com says the defection of Lossiemouth takes a little bit of gloss away.
A little bit, understatement.
That's a bit of an understatement, shall we say, a little bit of gloss away, because it was really intriguing just talking to Willie the other day, JD, where he was on about Lossiemouth, and he was basically saying, we have trained her to settle, and, you know, when she ran against Constitution Hill at Kempton, then the race was over going to the first, where she was going at 3 mile pace in a 2 mile hurdle race where she just couldn't go with them. And whilst he was sort of saying Stateman's are number one, he wasn't at all giving up on her going forward. To be honest, I'm not sure why she's not running here. She does have the option, obviously, of the DRF, which maybe, hopefully for the DRF's sake, if she takes on Stateman alone, that'll be a fantastic race. Maybe there might have been the factor of the weather as well.
Yeah, I think it could have been a travel issue, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And to be honest, at the same time, understatement and understatement, if Constitution Hill turns up here and looks anywhere near his best, that's fantastic for racing because of the profile of the, you know, the injuries he's had. I couldn't back him at 1-10. You know, he's had his fair share of issues. He's had two runs since April 2023. I didn't actually feel the last day he was necessarily best beaten Bird Air Road by 9 lengths and pushed out. So we shall see. But if he shows up here and wins SNAF, that'd be brilliant for the champion hurdle. You know, I'm still trying to kind of persuade people all these mares should be running the champion hurdle regardless of their chance against Constitution Hill and State. Now we'll see what happens, but maybe, you know, if Lossie Mout now sidesteps this, she'll take on State Man AL at the Dublin Racing Festival next week.
3:35 is the Cleve hurdle at Cheltenham on Thursday. Grade 2, 3 miles. I'd already like the principles here. Crambo has won the long walk hurdle at Ascot twice, but he flopped at Cheltenham at entry last season. We have a strong leader, is top rated, last in the long walk and has had wind surgery since, third in the race last season. But Ollie Murphy says Cheltenham does not suit him. The decent ground will suit him. Mon Morale won the Pretemps over the course and distance at the festival. But this is a better grade and he's got an each way chance. Questions over the principles. Gallo is a course winner. If the ground was better, Gallo would interest me. The bit of money for him. I know he might be seen as a bit of a handicap horse or over fences, but I think it's just a question whether the principals can turn up. Strong leader, I suppose, being third in the race last season. But if Ollie Murphy says the course doesn't suit him, it's not great. So I don't know about you. Botox has been out of form. Gal Road needs to prove he's better than handicap class, but there has been money for him.
There has been money for him, yeah. He's been a very consistent stick. I think I put him up 3 runs back when he was second at Cheltenham, but you know he's been a very consistent horse. Obviously, this is a different grade for him. These are the in the staying division, which is kind of a little bit up in the air at the moment. These are up there with the best that the British have to offer. I tend to disagree with you actually. There, I feel strong leader at 11-4 is better because he was 11-8 favourites the last day behind Crambo when Crambo was sent off 9-1. So there's no doubt in the market had massively favored strong leader over Crambo, and Crambo fair enough showed up. And Ollie Murphy said after the race, you know, he'd have been disappointed if the horse were third or fourth, but not as disappointed when he effectively was tailed off because he knew something wasn't right. He's gotten fairly minor, but at the same time he's gotten a wind surgery after the race. Now you're getting 11-4. If you scratch that run the last day, he'd be something like 11-10 here, not 11-4. And he was a very admirable third in the race last year, beaten about a length. And whatever Ollie says about Cheltenham, he stayed on all the way to the line that occasion. There isn't a great deal of strength and depth in this. So yeah. If Ollie Murphy feels he's back to his best, I am the forgiven type with horses having one bad run. You know, as long as you can sort of say, well, I can. It was interesting again, like Willie Mullins trying to explain away State Man's run at Leopardstown with his first bad run, and he's like, you have to forgive a horse one bad run. With strong leader, I'm willing to give him forgiveness as well on that one bad run. He's just turned 8 years of age, and I feel if he's at his best, he should win this really. So at 11-4, I'm more than happy to back him with that.
Okay, Johnny, just before we go to the member section, Willie Mullins, you were down at the yard. Is there a horse that you picked out? Oh, that's an interesting one. Maybe you hadn't thought about that horse before, the one that he mentioned. And I might keep that for the festivals in the spring.
So let me find the name of the horse here. There were a couple that he mentioned that. So at the start, he was sort of going through his entries, and he was like, kind of nearly went through all the horses that were sort of listed, and he said Lady Vega Allen was one he definitely mentioned in the Triumph division when obviously I mentioned how strong that is Lulamba, but he did say getting weight, he reckoned Lady Vega Allen had prospects, and obviously she's quite exciting. Cad Doughty as well is a fine looking horse. He was that horse who was quite impressive at Leopardstown at Christmas. He's mad about him. That was actually, mad about was the words of another journalist who was there on the day. So I was kind of recording it on my phone and trying to take it all in, but they were two horses, Cad Doughty and Lady Vega Allen. He's definitely very sweet on.
Okay, Johnny, our free tire selections for the radio. I'm going to go for a Snipe each way at 9-1 in the Great Yorkshire Chase, 3:15 on Saturday at Doncaster. What are you going for?
Yeah, strong leader for me. Running in the, as just mentioned, the Cleve at 3:35 Cheltenham. My charity bet with William Hill will be a stronger selection in Ireland, so we look forward to that second half of the show.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you want to check out more, including our look at Saturday's Great Yorkshire Chase at Doncaster and Sunday's action at Ace and Johnny's charity bet, which you kind of plugged there, go to offtheball.com/join and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, stories and insight from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill.